Well, I'm here today with Rachel Scott. So Rachel is, I don't quite know how to describe you in a way, and that's a compliment. Because if I was to say that you were just a coach, that would be like, you know, it would almost be like throwing, saying that Michael Jordan was just a basketball player. It doesn't quite bring the right context to who you are for people in the world and what you do. So, I'm really excited to get to interview and talk with you today. And so you can share a little bit with what you see, in the world, how you kind of see, what you do playing out. So you can really help people see, how they can get through some of the common struggles. And I get that, with you as well, Rachel, I've got the privilege to coach you. So I've learned quite a bit about your work. Some of the challenges that people are just frozen and stuck in, and they've been stuck many times. I remember you sharing my story, these people have been stuck 10 and 20 years, and some of the breakthroughs that you're helping create in a short period of time. So welcome, Rachel.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, and that's quite a compliment. I don't think I've ever heard anyone use Michael Jordan to somehow try to define me or describe me out there.
I've gotten a chance to actually talk with some of your clients, and every single one says I don't quite know how to describe it, and like they just you just help people create so much momentum and really alter. Transformation can be an overused word. And like now everybody says, I'm in transformational this or that. And then when you really get at the core of like how somebody's life is different from, day one working with you to the present and how quickly, one, it happens very fast and it's like people are completely different. It's an experience. I talk a lot about you create experiences for people, and it's not just feeling good transformation. That doesn't really benefit. It's like somebody's life actually is completely different. So,
yeah.
So Rachel, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry.
So that just reminded me of something that pops in my mind occasionally. I remember some years back, I was heading out on vacation, and I went to grab a book. I was thinking, I'm going to be sitting on the beach. I'm finally going to be relaxing because I've been, picking opportunities and circumstances within work that were always so stressful. I'm finally going to be able to relax, and I'm looking for just any book that has some kind of story, some kind of fiction. And everything in my house was self-help, self-development, self-something, right? Like it was going to be the ticket to what was going to finally scratch that itch. I couldn't even tell you exactly what it was, but I had been spending money and time in every way to somehow break through to that side of whatever it was so that I could do the work that I love, that I could feel, just comfortable in my world. And obviously, with a house full of books, like it just wasn't doing it. And it's such a different space today for me, and I see that this is when I work with clients. It's kind of the same thing. It's these incredibly powerful women who are so equipped to make things happen in their world, and they do. They make a lot of things happen, but when it comes to really what matters for them internally, there's just some kind of something in between that, a book or positive thinking or something along that lines just doesn't cut it for them. And that was my story. And when I finally really dug in, really committed to like, why am I standing in my way? And I got to that, there was a shift that didn't require a house full of self-help books anymore.
Got it. So tell me more about what was it like, before you got moving forward. And obviously, moving forward, a quick context is you went from a corporate job to, now I know, you're making $30,000+ a month coaching, you're making, and bigger than the money. People always ask, the money, I know you've had some great months, above 60,000. And it's really not about the money. It's just the context is, it's really the difference that we're making, you know, that you're making in the world. So what did you do before when you were stuck? And like some of the things that didn't work, what did you try before you really, you know, worked on altering, kind of, you know, walking through the world differently?
Yeah. I appreciate that question. Thanks for the setup. And yeah, it's not about the money today, but you know what I was thinking as you said that is that it was really about the money before. So when I was in that corporate job and I had that steady paycheck that was pretty impressive to people around me, and it was something that I clung on to around my security. It was very much about the money. It wasn't something I talked about, but the reason that I wasn't willing to step away from that was, you know, the thought that I think everybody would nod their heads at. And well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to, I know how to create in this world. I'm a pharmacist by training, and my role was within a biotech company heading up their clinical operations. And I thought, okay, I have all the know-how and all the credentials, and people call me doctor here, but how am I supposed to create any kind of security in any other environment? And the kind of things that I had tried before that.
So it sounds like, you know, you tried a couple things. And one, what would you say to somebody who is either in that corporate job right now, or, you know, they're working on making a business and they've been told some things, and they're not, you know, they're not quite working. What would you say to that person who is, you know, trying to make all this work, and they just don't feel like they can, or they don't feel like they're ready to, you know, take a leap and go forward?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I'd say is that, yeah, that's going to be there. I think one of the things that stood in my way for several years, you know, what it looked like for me before I ended up actually making the commitment and launching the business that I have today, is there were a couple years worth of different business ideas, and you know, really what was, I thought that I was really in it then, but what it was I might make a website or business cards and I would talk to people about it, but I never fully put my butt in the seat. And that was because I think, you know, to answer your question, I think it was like I was waiting until I felt fully confident about this, until I was sure that it's going to be a, you know, quote-unquote smooth transition from A to B. And what I really found is that those kind of thoughts, that imposter syndrome voice, the, you know, those kind of thoughts about how this is scary, like they're going to be there. And if I had waited for them to go away, we wouldn't be talking today. That's the reality of it. And I remember, you know, when I made the commitment to work with you as a coach, my heart was beating out of my chest. My hand was shaking. I mean, it was the biggest commitment I'd ever made to myself, and really having someone who I knew was going to hold me accountable. And if I'd taken that as a sign that I wasn't ready, then again, we wouldn't be on this, you know, we wouldn't be talking today, and I would be still in a role that, yes, the role was incredible. It just wasn't what was going to do it for me. You know, it wasn't something that when I looked down at my life and said, like, this is the kind of work that really matters to me, that I know that I'm making a difference and that I know that I'm passionate about. That wasn't it.
Awesome. Incredible. And so you said something about, you know, when you got ready to make the commitment, that it was a big commitment about you. And it was like investing in yourself, and that was the struggle. Why do you, you know, when you were looking at that, why do you think, you know, and I 100% agree, it is, you know, it is about, you know, it was about you and your commitment. What was it about that was different than the other things that you have, you know, you had decided to invest in, or, you know, business cards, any of those things? What was the difference there?
It's a good question. You know, I think before I even answer that, because I want to answer that, but I think the first thing I want to say is this is something that's so pervasive for women, is that you know, women just have such a hard time investing in them, in themselves. And we see this in all sorts of ways. This is emotionally, financially. I mean, this is why women are really great at negotiating for raises and promotions, for example, for their team members, for people who report into them, or even supporting their colleagues in some way. But when it comes to themselves, there's this hesitance, and they don't do those things at the same rate. I mean, this is why it's challenging even for a woman to commit to saying go into a yoga class. And it's just something about the way that we're taught to think about ourselves and who we are, and also the beautiful way that we're wired to think communally. So I think in some ways, any kind of investment that really will take energy, time, and any kind of financial commitment, there's this deep hesitance, when it comes to being a woman and thinking about, well, how will that affect others in my world? And I think one thing is like getting clear for me that the investment in myself is really what prepares me to be a greater contribution everywhere. And instead of seeing it as it somehow takes away, because the reality was is that what was going on for me, that I was so drained at that point from being in a role and that I knew was just not the fit for me, that I knew that, again, while it was challenging and it was a meaningful role, it just wasn't the role in the life that I wanted. That was draining every opportunity I had to actually make a contribution anywhere else. So I want to speak to that. But as far as how is this different than other things that I had invested in? I think in some ways it was more about what happened before I made the investment, because as I started to talk about all the ideas, so I'd had ideas over the past, the prior few years before I really fully stepped into this. And, previously what would happen is that people would hear me talk about, this is the business that I want to build, this is the difference that I want to make in the world, and they would listen and they would say, that sounds really amazing and that's phenomenal and how brave of you. And I get all these pats on the back. And yet the reality was is I hadn't really put any skin in the game yet. Because all I'd been doing was really talking about the skin that I was going to put in the game someday. I was just talking about the way that my life was going to be different someday. And somehow, all those pats on the back just allowed me to do that even more, allowed me to kind of kid myself a little bit more. And so I think the things that I had invested in prior to this, whether it be books or, like the 12-step programs and therapy and all of these things to small degrees shifted me. I mean, I know that. They all shifted me to small degrees, but it was not this massive, almost immediate transformation that I experienced with this commitment. And what it was really what happened before the commitment. It was even in a conversation with you where I was so infinitely clear when I got done with that conversation with you that, yes, what I wanted to do in this world was beautiful, and it was amazing, and we could call it brave. And if I was going to do it, then I was going to just need to go do it. And I think I walked into this commitment with no illusions anymore that there was like some answer outside there, but that I have it in me. I had it in me, and I just needed to clear away whatever was there. And I don't really think that I truly, when I made investments in things in the past, I think that I was always looking for like, this is going to be the system. This is going to be the step. This is going to be the person. And there were no illusions walking into this that I didn't exactly know how I was going to do it, but I knew that this was about me stepping into who I already am and what was already there.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And I think you describe it really well. And the difference is what I really believe in this stuff is instead of saying that there's some magic solution, and you just see this pervade throughout the world of marketing and everywhere that it's like some magic solution, which if you really look at that, it's like diminutive to, I hope that's the right word. So my English, there we go. It's diminishing to the person to say that like they're not incredible and they're great. And it's like really it's unlocking that greatness within somebody that they inherently already have. They just haven't figured out how to access it. And I just think I just see that so differently than what most other people do of saying, "Hey, I'm your magic solution to get you somewhere." Which really what that does is from the beginning takes away somebody else's power to do really and create like all of their energy and vitality to create a result. Like so many people in this world take it away from them, like right away with these. And now you see it everywhere. I see it everywhere. And then what you create is completely the opposite. You help people unlock what is truly great that's already there. They just haven't, it's really, you could say they haven't figured out how to access it yet, or they haven't figured out how to use their own power.
Yeah. And that, I think that's probably going to scare some people listening to this, right? Some people are going to say, turn this off. I'd rather tap into the solution, and I get that. But for those people who know that, yeah, there's something else, and yet I'm willing to consider the possibility that it's actually in me. I think I heard you once say, and I've heard some others say, and it's really been a mantra for me. It's like, my goal in working with someone is that at the end of our time together, they are infinitely clear that they never needed me in the first place. And it's just like, it's a beautiful process to be able to hold somebody's hand and get to that point where it's the possibilities are so clear, and you can look back and go like, yeah, I felt really stuck. And I get that that's just how I felt then. And there's something that courses through that moment when for me, and I see this with clients, when there's that recognition of, oh my, like you can almost giggle over the place that felt so painfully stuck, that before it was, it was something that would lead to, your voice shaking and almost a sense of tears coming, because the frustration of not being able to live in the way that you know you're capable of living. And to be able to look back on a moment like that and almost, just have a sense of levity about it and knowing that it creates the possibility and the space for any new level of stuck to just be like, okay, well, we'll just look at this one and we'll do what's here. And that's, I had this, I think about this sometimes. When I first, when I graduated from my pharmacy residency, I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just graduating, just about to graduate, and I got this opportunity to join this biotech startup. That they were so tenuous that at the interview, they said to me, we may not actually be a company by the time you're done your residency in a couple months, because they were hiring me on for like 2 months later. And I was so young and really, I would say young in terms of business. I had no sense of really what a career looked like or security, no idea about that stuff. That even though people around me, my parents, my residency director, people around me who were guiding me were saying, you'd be crazy to take this, I didn't know any better. And so I didn't know my way out of this opportunity. And I think about that now, and I think about how I really aim to live that way now, to live in a place that I don't know my way out of any possibility and any opportunity. And I think that that's what this transformational experience has given me, is that I don't have to be locked into this litany that's happening in my mind about the way it should be or what's possible, what's not, and well, what if this could happen? It's like I get to not know any better. And because of that, I get to have a life that seems just strangely unreasonable.
Awesome. Yeah, it's, and just, looking at that, and when you're when you're sharing that, it's like what I've seen people. It's almost like they people know and they have this part of them that's suppressed in the process of like who they truly are to to everybody in the world, and it's just suppressed by whatever's getting in the way, whatever's getting in the way for them, and thoughts, feelings, emotions, fears. A lot of things, and it's suppressed. And then you just really like look at this, and it's the big basis of what I sit with is when people don't share their gifts to the world, everyone around them is missing out. It's not so, you know, the person, yeah, they're missing out on the experience. So every other person in the world that they come in contact with is missing out on the experience that, you know, that person can create for them. So, you know, now that you're creating that experience, every single person that comes into your life gets to experience who you truly are and not, you know, some like, you know, like piece of that expression, not, you know, they get to truly experience, you know, who you, you know, who you really are instead of, you know, just a flicker or like, you know, a little bit of the flame.
Well, it's really exhausting to to live the other way, right? When there's this measured way of, okay, in this work environment or with this particular person at work or at home or with the mother-in-law or whatever, you know, this is the part of me that I show. This is the measured way that I'm supposed to act as opposed to, like you said, it's showing up fully. I mean, it's just exhausting. And I think that's, like, if there's one thing that when I meet the women that, you know, really we have a strong connection and the kind of women that I enjoy working with, you know, oftentimes the common thread that I see on the surface of what's going on is that they are tired. You know, they are tired because it is to have to constantly do that measuring game and decide which part of ourselves shows up, or even just that there's a lack of recognition of how full they are and how much they bring to the world. It actually becomes really exhausting living from that space. And then it seems like you really need a system. Like, I need a negotiation system in order to you know, rise up in my career. I need to figure out how to navigate the political spectrum because of how people behave. I mean, I remember this one woman that I began working with, she came to me at the time that she was just starting a new role, and she leads up IT within the pharma space. And she came to me and she said, you know, I need help building credibility here because it's so important that I collaborate with these other teams. And she was tired. And she was actually asking me to help her to do something that was going to tire her out more. Like, let's create a system so that I can make sure that I have some level of credibility with every department here. And instead, you know, we you know, walked in a lot of what you're talking about, which you can't really put words to. I mean, that's the thing, is you can't really put words to this stuff. But we stripped away kind of the system that she'd built up that was tiring her out. And, you know, just a couple months later, you know, she's like calling me up randomly and saying, you're not going to believe what happened today. You know, this department's coming to me and just asking me how can they collaborate with me. And this woman just found me in the hallway and said, can you represent the company at this conference around, you know, this particular topic? And she's never been more energized. And the other thing is, she's working, you know, she used to bring her work home both literally and then also kind of metaphorically in the sense that she was just energetically at work even when she was at home. And so in the meantime, while she's just less exhausted because there's no system anymore to create credibility, instead she's just showing up as who she is, and people like that. They want more of that. And so she gets all the results she tried to get for decades now without having to drain herself. And that makes more space for her to actually enjoy her husband and her kids. And this is the stuff that it's like, how do you even talk about, how can your mind even imagine that could happen? You know, it seems like it's got to be harder. And that's kind of the big trick, actually. You know, the big trick is that the mind will want to, you know, this is my experience, the mind said it can't be this easy. I mean, I remember when I first was, like, really ready to commit to building this business, my mind said, it can't be as easy as I just put up a shingle and I start making a difference for people. I have to go, you know, get some, there has to be some complicated chain of things that I have to do in order to make this happen. And, you know, that's the funny thing is if I follow what the mind is saying about that complexity, then, yeah, it seems really hard and really complex. And if I'm willing to do the simple stuff of showing up fully and being a contribution for other people around me, I get wild with that. I surprise myself.
Yeah. No, and it's so much. And we're not trying to get woo-woo here or anything like that. It's, you know, breaking it down. You know, I was just
I must have crossed the woo-woo barrier, huh?
No, you did cross the woo-woo barrier. And you describe this, and it's something magical that you created, and because it'll change somebody's life. I mean, one of my other mentors was talking yesterday about this while I was driving, and he talks about, he's got the experience taking a couple companies from like $3 million to $100 million, and, one of probably the most respected consultants out there. And he says, everybody believes that, their position gives so much of their authority, or their expertise gives so much of the authority in that position. So, the person you're talking about, they want to build a system so they can use their authority and, authority and expertise. And so this is like this illusion. And he said, when it really comes down to it, he said 90% of all of, of your influence and, with your team or with other people, 90% of those, of that comes from your relationship. And your relationships, and then 8% comes from, your position, and then 2% from your expertise. And what's interesting is people go backwards on this stuff, as they believe all of their influence will come from their expertise or their position, and you look at that, and it's completely the opposite. And it just reminded me of what you were talking about with her. She was using something, she was trying to use something outside of her relationship with people to influence. She was like putting that ownership out. And you just look at this as a pattern, and it's the same thing. It puts things outside of your control or your ability. It's like if it's in the system and the expertise, it puts it outside of the person for being responsible for making a difference.
And then you're always chasing that. I mean, that's the other thing is that I'm sure some of the listeners can relate to this, because I certainly could. Is that it, for me, any time that something outside of me, whether it be a book or some kind of system or some tactic that I was using, seemed to give me the result that I wanted, it wasn't like I got to go, whew, okay, had that conversation with the boss or the client that was really strong and I got the result I wanted. Like, now I can breathe and go relax. No, there was even more tension, right? How am I going to keep this up? What's the next thing that I need to get? I mean, I didn't even realize that was happening, but that was the kind of thing that would happen even, after a raise or a promotion, something like that, and something that I was certain that this was, this was the next step in the career. It was like it would only last for like a month before I would start to feel some kind of sense of fear again about how this wasn't enough. This didn't do it for me. I need to somehow I need to be at a different level, or else I'm not doing my career right, whatever that means. And I think you really nailed it with it's the relationship factor, which really is just about how we know that quote, was it from Mother Teresa, like, People won't remember what you did, but they'll remember how you made them feel. And I think when we hear that, we all go, like, there's a part of us inside of our gut that says, because we know that that's true for us. I know that that's true for me. It's not the things that people do that I remember. It's what I feel like when I'm around them. And it's so funny how, even though I know that that's true for me, I think that I can do something. Like, I think that somehow that's going to be different when I'm interacting with other people. If I just do enough, and that's how I burned myself out. I just thought I could do enough until, like, one day it was going to be enough. and here's the thing. We could do some Freudian self-analysis here, and I'd probably do really well with it, because I've done a lot of that stuff. And I got really used to knowing what was going on with my mind and why I had my patterns and how my childhood had affected this or that and how this was playing out in my relationships. And yet, that kept me in a cage. I think that it's valuable to get that the patterns that go on that keep us avoiding our own personal power and avoiding why we really step into a relationship in a way that we let people experience us and ultimately produce these incredible results that we think about happening with real leaders. And it's valuable to get a sense of why that's going on. And yet I'll share my own experience, because I got trapped in that place of why. I got obsessed with understanding more about why I was doing what I was doing, instead of just you know, taking action to really let someone experience me. You know, let someone have that feeling that they would have when they're around me. And I think, you know, my most favorite quote has a line in it from Marianne Williamson that says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate, but that we are powerful beyond measure." And I'll tell you that I haven't found a single human being that I've met yet that this doesn't resonate for. That it's funny because it's easy to think, no, I'm not taking action because I'm really afraid of, you know, this might happen. What about, you know, where's the money going to come from? What will so-and-so think? And yet I know that the truth for me was that my deepest fear was really, really acknowledging how powerful I was. I mean, it was a doozy. When I really started to create this business and I looked up and said, oh, I'm doing this. And I see this with clients. When they really commit and they start to create results, there's also this like pullback. They go, whoa, is that really me? And there's this resistance to that. And I think that's why it's easy to look at people who are living the kind of lives that we would be excited about in whatever way. Maybe they're just leading in a way that we really admire. And it's much easier to just look at them and say, they must have something I don't. You know, they have some handbook that I didn't get. They have some extra confidence that I don't have. And really, I remember I was interviewing this woman one day that I really admire, and she's made a big impact in the world. And she was sharing about how I said, so what's the thing, if you were going to really like get naked in front of this audience, you know, what's the thing that you would say you'd want to share about yourself that people don't know? And she said, you know, sometimes when I'm up in front of audiences and I'm talking about whatever it is that we're talking about that day, she said, I have that voice loud and clear in my head, that imposter syndrome voice, saying, who are you to? And she said she just learned to embrace it. I think it's easy to look at people outside of us who are doing the things that we'd love to do and think that they have something different. And yet I think the reality is that they're just in the action of it. They have the same kind of fears going on. They're just in the action of it. And that that thought that there was something else for me to get, that one day I was going to be really confident and that's when I would take action, that kept me from really being in the center of my life for a while.
Incredible. It's absolutely incredible. So, well, and I know I only have a few more minutes here, and we had a couple of questions from, you know, my audience. I told a couple of people I was going to interview you, so they had a couple of questions. First one was getting over the hump. When you really, really went out and got over the hump, what happened? Like what happened and what was the experience of and just knowing full well, because you I get a watch, you know, I've seen you create this for people, and so much of what we create is, you know, stuff that we've learned to do before. So what is it that you did to really get you over the hump to go from, you know, kind of, you know, your work making this work to, hey, I have a business and I can just keep creating, and now I know you're just creating beyond, you know, what you're originally, you know, you'd originally set out to do.
You know, as you asked that question, I think there was what felt like a big hump initially. And there was, because I had been building it up for much of my life, right? And that was kind of the agony of not really following through when the things that I said that I wanted to do and not following through. It's like almost like every time I did that, the hump got bigger. Because really, I learned I couldn't count on myself to follow through, even though I was this, on the outside, I looked like this powerhouse woman who was getting things done in this VP role at a corporate job and all sorts of other things in my life. But what I knew on the inside was that there were things that were important to me that I wasn't following through with. And every time I didn't, that hump felt bigger. So I think initially there was that big hump. And then the image that I had in my mind as you said that was like, and then there were these smaller ones along the way. Because each time those old fears might rear their head, and it was like I had to just look at that again. Am I really committed? But, you know, I think what happened and what it was like was, going back to what I talked about a little bit earlier, is that I had this moment, and it was talking to you. I love sharing this story. Talking to you, you asked me what is it that you really want to create, Rachel, and why? And you listened to me go on for a little while because I really cared about what I was talking about. I really cared about wanting to make a difference for other women. And And then you, I finished, and you listened really intently and with love, and then you said, that's, you know, that's powerful stuff. And then you said, you should go get clients. And in that moment, the only way I can describe it is, like, it felt like the bottom of my world fell out, because you were the first person that wasn't just patting me on the back and saying, wow, that's really brave, and that's going to be really great. You were the first person that listened and said, yeah, that sounds like it's going to make a difference. Go do it. And when the bottom fell out, meaning, you know, really my covers were pulled, I just had this moment where I knew I was never going to follow through unless I dealt with why I hadn't been following through before. I couldn't talk about or plan about my businesses anymore. I mean, when I look back at this stuff, I found an email sometime back that had all of these documents from an old business that I had been working on. I built out logos and marketing materials and presentation decks and business cards and the website, you name it. I built everything in detail, except the one thing I failed to do was to step out in front of anyone, right? Step out in front of the world and say, okay, I'm here, I'm doing this, I'm vulnerable. I could fail, this is scary. You know, I never really put myself out there to say to anyone, hey, do you want to purchase my services? So I did all the really easy stuff. Except I didn't think it was so easy because I was so caught in the details. But it was the stuff that was within my comfort zone. I knew how to build out some content, but what I didn't know how to do was step out naked in front of the world and say, what do you think? And so when I got what it was like getting over that hump was this moment where I just suddenly went, oh, yeah, I'm kidding myself here. And it was really a moment where I asked myself, okay, so I was just offered the possibility that if I want to make this a reality, then I would just need to actually make this a reality. And I had a moment where I just had to ask myself, so do I want to make this a reality? Like, I think I hadn't really been faced with that before. And I looked at it and I just knew I did. And so I think in that moment, that desire to really make that real was bigger than all of the fears that had built that hump up before.
Awesome. I keep saying awesome. I wish I had a better word, though. It's hard to describe. it's fun. Well, you know, just in the last little bit here, I'd love for you to share, you know, because what you've done has gotten incredibly effective at helping people move forward in their life and getting things done. What is it now that really excites you and the types of conversations and relationships that excite you, that you really want to help people, you know, work through?
Yeah. I love working with people who are on the, what I say, on the edge of their world. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if there's someone out there who's looking to advance in their career and they're wanting to you know, grow in that path, that's great. And it's also not the work I do. But if there's someone who wants to absolutely revolutionize the way that they act as a leader in their organization and therefore create this contagious sense of vision and commitment and follow through there, you know, where you, I mean, when we hear the word corporate, we don't really think about the word integrity, right? And yet I have clients who that is what they're devoted to create an experience where that word integrity is powerfully wrapped around someone's experience in that corporate world. So people who are on the edge and know that they want something entirely different than what they've already experienced, and they don't know exactly what that looks like to get there. And that might be like someone, as I mentioned, a corporate who's shifting the entire way that they lead, or someone who, like me, you know, I'm really familiar with this story, right? It's within the corporate working world, and yet they know that they want to create something on their own. They want to build a business that contributes and makes a difference in their world. But there's this sense of, but how the heck would I know how to navigate a land I've never been to, right? And I already have all the credentials for this world over here, but that world is foreign. So really, I just love working with those people who are interested in doing something bigger than themselves. And yeah, it scares them. You know, if I've learned, if I'm not scared, if I'm not a little bit scared and sometimes a lot bit scared, then I've shrunken back into just kind of worrying about feeling secure where I am. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so it's fun to work with people who are willing to feel a little bit scared on a daily basis. And I think that's the power of having somebody walk side by side with you with that. Because on this path, this level of living, there's always going to be a little bit of that, what the heck am I doing? And so having somebody walking next to you going, this is what you're doing, it's pretty powerful to have that reminder, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I love it. I love it. And I think, you know, everybody, you know, anybody that's just really interested in this work, you know, just give you a call, you know, message you and just reach out and just, because it's an experience. Like, we're talking about it, and it does like a tenth of the justice of, you know, of what it's really like to, you know, to experience, you know, experience this type of work and get, you know, and just really work with people who are, you know, incredible at helping people create results. So, yeah. You know, I'd really go ahead.
Oh yeah, you're reminding me. I'm thinking more recently. I asked some of my clients, like, what's the experience been like, and what kept you from committing to this sooner, or what would have kept you from this? And I think universally, I heard this answer of, you know, I didn't know what to expect. I couldn't even imagine what coaching would be like. I couldn't even imagine, you know, all they knew, just like me, all I had known was everything I tried, every book I had on the shelf, every program I'd ever been to, every person that I tried talking to get guidance from. That's all I knew about already. And when I went back and asked my clients, well, what was the experience like? You know, what were the fears that would have really kept you from committing to yourself like this? And it was this universal, I just had no idea. And if I knew even, you know, a month or 6 weeks in, how shifted my entire world was going to be, I wouldn't have hesitated for a second. and I think that's what it is that this is unimaginable, which is what it needs to be. Because if this stuff made sense, then it would be like any other answer out there. It would be like anything else that I could cook up myself. And really, the power in this is that it's outside the realm of that. So it creates results that are outside the realm of that too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I'm going to put I know some people are going to watch this. So I'm going to put a little box there so they can reach out and ask some questions. We might have to do this again too, after they ask some questions. I think you're going to get some people stir in there. So
that sounds fun.
Awesome. Well, I know we're up against a time frame, so thank you so much for sharing. Is there anything last you'd like to share with people?
I'd say, you know what I want to share is thank you for trusting us to stick through listening to this. Because I get that, you know, if you're here at this point, there's obviously something in your world that you know is important to you, that you want to touch in a deeper way than you've been touching now. And so thanks for trusting us just to be curious about what that could look or feel like to open that up in a way you haven't before.
Awesome. Perfect. Yes. And you know, and what website can they come check out more about what you're doing at as well?
Oh yes, let's plug here. So you can check out.
I'm posting this on mine, and I'm going to put the links below it. So if they, you know, if they're just listening on iTunes, where should they go?
Perfect. For anybody out there who is just listening, the website is createpowerfully.com. So www.createpowerfully.com. And you can look me up on LinkedIn as well, Dr. Rachel Scott. And I would love to talk with anybody out there who's curious, feeling stuck, just want to chat. I'm always open to learn more about the world around me, and I would love to connect.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Rachel. And awesome. And I'm sure we're going to have to do this again soon. Okay?
All right. Sounds good. Take care, Brian. Thank
you. All right. Have a wonderful day.